You all know the rule. You all know the rule that Gemara says that once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a good nevuah, it is for sure. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a good nevuah, it's going to happen absolutely. If you ever had the Rambam's Hakdama in front of you, so you would see on Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel, the following steering Gemara. Think about this logical problem. On the one hand, on the other hand. On the one hand, we have a rule that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a negative nevuah, Yonah Hanavi comes to Nineveh and says, Oh, Arbaim Yom v'Nineveh Nefakas. In 40 days, Nineveh is overturned. In 40 days, Nineveh is going down. They do tshuva, of the course, begin the paragimel of Yonah. Of course, the paragimel, they do tshuva, and does Nineveh destroyed? No, what happened to the nevuah? Well, how could it be? The nevuah didn't come true? False prophecy? No. What happened to nevuah? The answer is, it was nevuah l'ra'ah. It was nevuah l'ra'ah because of the way Anshei Nineveh had been behaving. They did tshuva. They no longer deserved the nevuah l'ra'ah. It was rolled back. The Gemara says, nevuah l'ra'ah can be overturned. Nevuah l'tova is not going to be overturned. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives nevuah l'tova, even if we subsequently do averus and don't deserve it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to reel in a nevuah l'tova. Famous Gemara. Nevuah l'tova is for sure. Nevuah l'ra'ah is al hatana. Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean?
So
Bobo raises a good question. There's a lot of room here for fakery. It's a very good question. Well, hold on to that thought. It's a very important thought. It's a sophisticated thought. Let me ask you another question. Can you think of someone in Chumash Bereishis who was worried about a nevuah l'tova getting undone? Think. Like an individual of Chumash Bereishis. Jos. Yaakov, yeah, when?
When he said, when he was running away from Esau, he said, if you fulfill your promise, then
right, the pasuk in Chumash says, "A year Yaakov mava yetzelo." But Yaakov's avashar ito, he's very scared. A Rashi quote from Chazal: what's he scared about? What's he scared about? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised him, "Ushmarticha moshar echol shetelech." Before he left Eretz Yisrael for base love, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to carry you." So why is Yaakov scared? So the Rashi in Chumash quotes from the Gemara in Brachas, he was worried, Shema yigra machet. It's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised to take care of me, but maybe I'm no longer as deserving. I've spent 2 decades with Lavan. That's a very corrosive experience, potentially. I was in a culture that was totally antithetical to my values. So maybe I'm no longer on the Madrega that I once was. Shema yigra machet. Frek the Rambam, I understand. It's nevuah l'tova. Ushmarticha b'chol shaytaleh. That was a positive nevuah. So why is Yaakov worried? Shama yigra machet. Maybe he was chote. Maybe he wasn't. But even if he was chote, nevuah l'tova zeinu chazaras. And then we have Kiva's question. The truth is, the Rambam says that Kiva's question is the key to answering this question. Because the Rambam says we can ask a third question, which is where I thought you were going, which is the Gemara says that a nevuah l'tova is absolute, a nevuah l'ra is contingent on people's continued bad behavior. Which is the rule and which is the exception? What would you have expected? That all nevuahs should be contingent, or that all nevuahs should be absolute? Based on first principles. Think. Contingent. Absolute. Think. Think about which side are you on. Each of you should think about which side are you on. You on Gavi's side, you on Rafi's side. Interesting that the Malach Gabriel is the one who is saying contingent. The Malach Rafal is what I'm saying absolute. Okay, I have to think about this deeply. You meaning Michal and Misrola got real. Funny, real. I heard it. Oh, yeah. I mean, she was saying like this. No, Misrola got real, but the Michal is in front of me. So, but Lamaisa, but think about, let's not get distracted. It's an interesting issue. What would you have expected and why? Would you have expected that all Nevuos can end up not happening if we, you know, use our Bechir Chavshas differently, for better or for worse? Or would you have thought that really all Nevuos should be absolute no matter what? In other words, should they all be contingent and Nevuah Tova is the exception? Or should they all be absolute and Nevuah L'ra'a is the exception? Think. What do you say? Think. What do you say, yes?
I think that it should be
absolute. We know that Hashem is. So Yitz is playing a trump card here. Yitz is saying, well, all the Nevuah should be absolute. Because even though I have Bechir Chavshas, the Kadosh Baruch Hu knows how I'm using my Bechir Chavshas. Which touches on the profound question of Bechira and Yediyah, of free will and foreknowledge. Yeah.
I think all Nevuah should be absolute, except for when, like, he's saying, like, all of you guys are going to die unless you do this. Because why else would you give that Nevuah if you
didn't want okay, good. So Binyamin is threading the needle here. Binyamin says, well, in principle, all the Nevuah should be absolute. But if a Navi says, if you do this Aveir, you'll get this Onesh, then obviously the point is to induce us to do tshuva. So maybe that should be... Okay, so he's trying to have his cake and eat it too. I asked a yes or no question. Binyamin says, exactly. Okay, good, yeah? You know? So Yehuda is trying to synthesize Yitz and Binyamin, and point out we need to think about the teleology, telos. What's the purpose? What is the purpose of the Nevuah? Okay, good. Yeah. Jos. Bon anglais. This sounds like, if I'm hearing correctly, it sounds like Yonah's saying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Nevuah, but we would expect that people change, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will adapt, and that would be based on which Iker and Amunah? Schar V'Yonash. Iker number 11. We believe in Schar V'Yonash. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kael Amunah Ve'en Avel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me what I deserve. If I choose to use my Bechir Chavshas in a particular way, we would have expected that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give me what I deserve. Yeah, what do you say, Raf?
Even Hashem doesn't explicitly tell the Navi that, or the Navi doesn't explicitly say this is only you don't do tshuva. It seems like that's almost implied because the purpose of the Navi for telling punishment is to get the people to do tshuva. Otherwise, there'd be no point in such a nevuah. Hashem would just.
Okay, good. So going back to the question of Talos. Yeah. One more ha'ara, then let's bring it together. Gavi.
Because Hashem doesn't really give out the so the Nevuah is based on what we're going to do. Meaning, just from the get-go, it shouldn't be unconditional that Hashem is going to
So we have a number of voices arguing that let's think about the purpose of Nevuah is. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicating with us? Presumably he's communicating to give us the opportunity to grow and change and improve. So you would have expected that things would be responsive and reactive and contingent. That it's al das kein, or as Rafi is saying, it's almost like an implied tanai that based on where you're at right now, here's our Kadosh Baruch Hu plans to react to you. So keep that in mind. Bein l'tov, bein l'ra. And as I said before, it is one of the Ikari Amuna is Schar V'Yodesh. Not is that the purpose often of Nevuah, Zichur Toras Moshe Avdi, but it would stand to reason logically that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with or without a Nevuah, even without a Nevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reacts to us often in accordance to how we act. Not everything that happens to us is Schar Onish for an Aveir or a Mitzvah, but plenty of things are. So certainly, it's not at all surprising that things should be contingent. It's not all surprising things to be contingent. Now, so one could have said, I don't think the Rambam does, though it's worth exploring. There may be other Rishonim who do say, but no, because my whole question was a poorly worded question. I said, which one's the rule, which one's the exception? There could be there are Rishonim who say, as some of you I think we're angling towards, no, these both are the rule. A Nevuah L'Tova is good. Nevuah L'Ra is trying to get us to do tshuva. So some of you are saying, well, the point of Nevuah L'Ra is to get us to do tshuva, so obviously it's going to be contingent. That's the whole point, is to help us, to encourage us to change. Because that would be ridiculous if it was been locked in, but Nevuah L'Tova is locked in. So there could be the Arishom who say that. The Rambam does not. The Rambam does assume fundamentally it should be one way, and the way he says it should be, he says, really, every Nevuah should be contingent. Schar V'Yonesh! I become more of a Tzad, I become more of a Rasha. Of course, every Nevuah ought to be contingent. He says, the exception is that Nevuah L'Tova is absolute. That's surprising. Because Nevuah L'Tova, and then I decide to use my Bechir Chavshus in a very unfortunate way. Why is it followed that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was necessarily going to give me all the goodness that he had originally said? So the Rambam says, really, it should always be contingent. Why is there an exception? What's the purpose of the exception if Nevuah L'Tova is always miskayemes? Rambam says, because of the other issue. That's what Akiva had raised before. So remember, we left off last time, the Rambam had said, Ikar number 6 of the 13 Ikarim is Nevuah. But how do I know, as a human being, how do I know that some other Tolein Nevuah is a Navi? Remember that language Rambam had used repeatedly, bringing Bava Basra into Ruchnis, bring Bava Basra into world Nevuah. You claim, you have a taina, you claim you're a Navi. How do I know you're a Navi? Just because you're charismatic? No. Just because you do impressive looking nisim? Absolutely not. How am I going to know that you're a Navi? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us in the Chumash that there will be Naviim, but not that everyone is a Navi, but not that everyone who claims to be a Navi is a Navi. So how do I know that you're a Navi? So what the Rambam quoted from Midrashei Chazal based on the Pesukim in Chumash Dorim? What? How do you test whether a Nevuah claimant is real or not? Number one, he has to have the personal attributes to be eligible. Chacham, Gibor, Asher, Yirei Shamayim, Midos, etc. Okay. Number two, the content that he's saying has to be plausible. Not that he's encouraged us to do Avodah Zarah. Not that he's encouraged us to abrogate a mitzvah. They say something else. So if the person is shayach and the message is shayach, so then we need to test him. How do we test him? Who remembers? How do you test a Navi? Right. You have to predict the future with thorough detail, total accuracy, multiple times. Yeah.
Good.
Akiva makes a good point. In terms of the preliminary pieces, a person could pretend. There are people, unfortunately, there are people who put on a good show and look like they're very impressive people, and are not. Don't become cynical and think that everyone is rotten. Most people who seem to be good are good. But there are people who seem to be good, who unfortunately, when you get to know them more, are at the very least less impressive the more you get to know them. In the Chanan. But you're right. Those are sort of preliminary checks. In other words, the first thing is, does he appear to be the sort of person who could be an Avi? We'll do our best to try and figure that out. The second thing is his message acceptable? And then, the actual step three, the actual test, is something that's going to be very, very difficult, if not downright impossible, to fake. Because we're going to ask you to predict the next thing we have a nevuah that predicts the future. Tell us a nevuah. We want to hear something with a lot of detail about events that haven't yet happened. We're going to write down every single detail, and then we're going to put it aside and wait until the nevuah either every single detail falls into place or not. And then we'll do what Rambam said, not once and not twice, we'll do it a number of times. And then after 100% accuracy in a very detailed nevuah multiple times, at that point, that's something that's very, very hard to pick. So then now it seems like, if we knew that you weren't a good person, eligible person, we wouldn't have gone to step two. If you appear to be eligible person and your messages are eligible messages, so then let's test you and we'll put you through. So the Rambam says, how are you going to do that though? How is that test going to work? If every nevuah is contingent, so things can always change. Maybe the guy's a real Navi, but people use their Bechira Chavshus, and the things that he predicted didn't happen because people behaved better or worse, and as a result, future events change. So Rambam says, how can you test by prediction if all Nevuos are contingent? So the Rambam says, fundamentally, every Nevuah should be contingent. Logically, Schar V'Onesh dictates that every Nevuah should be contingent. I know I didn't address Yitz's point, an important point about Bechira and Yediyah, but at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, there's a lot to say about Bechira and Yediyah, I don't want to get sidelined, but for now I'll say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decision in creating the universe to give us Bechira. It's a little counterintuitive, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that decision, and we understand, we can begin to understand why. Because of the goals that Kadosh Baruch Hu had for us to Olam Hazeh, Kadosh Baruch Hu, as we learned in Mesilas Yesharim, but Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be Baal Bechira. So by design, Kadosh Baruch Hu chose to give us logically, even more than psychologically, logically remarkable power of Bechira Chavshus. So as such, Kadosh Baruch Hu chooses to maintain that Bechira Chavshus. So presumably, it's not surprising that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ruin our Bechira Chavshus by giving us Nevuah that already deflates in advance. There's more to say about that. But the Rambam says, fundamentally, you would have expected every Bechir, every Nevuah should be contingent. If you behave better, then you end up being inspired to be a bigger tzaddik, so maybe things will improve. If you make horrible choices and become a bigger usher, maybe things will be worse. It really should always have been contingent. But then there would never be a way to test a Navi. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to set aside one subcategory of Nevuah that is absolute in order for the whole system of Nevuah to work. Because it has to be, something has to be absolute, like, there has to be a clearly identifiable subcategory of Nevuah that we know isn't going to change so that we can use that type of Nevuah to test and verify, to certify Nevi'im. So, Mida Tova Merume Midas Peronius. We understand why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to say that Nevuah should be absolute. Adrapa, the good Nevuah should be absolute. That we understand. Then the Rambam says, so what do we have? And now we're almost ready to wrap it all together. He says, really, every Nevuah should be contingent. There's a special exception, Nevuah Latova is absolute, because that's going to, we'll use Nevuah Latova to test Nevi'im. The Rambam says, Ibrazai, now what's Pshat in Yaakov Avinu? The Gemara says in Brachas, Yaakov Avinu was worried, Ushmarticha b'achshar chol she teleich, a Nevuah Latova, he's worried, Shem Yigra Machet. Maybe it's contingent. Why did he think that Nevuah is contingent if it's Nevuah Latova? So now you have all the pieces. Rama gave you all the pieces. You can put it in your pocket. You have everything in your pocket. It's all in your pocket. Because Rambam is saying fundamentally every Nevuah should be contingent. Elamai, why are Nevuah Slotova absolute? Because I need it to be absolute for what? for verifying Nevuah. So the Rambam suggests if that's the case, maybe it's not just Nevuah Latova, which is absolute, but specifically a Nevuah Latova, which is meant to be shared with other people. The Rambam here sort of tips his hand a little bit to what alludes to another way of subcategorizing Nevuahs. One dimension is Latova Lara. Another very important dimension, and this is very fundamental, some the Rambam says elsewhere as well. Sometimes a Navi gets Nevuah just for himself. Other times a Navi gets Nevuah, but it's meant to be shared with others. Niv Svasayim, as some Rishonim say, a Navi is Milosha Niv. And he has things to say to other people. But the Rambam says not all Nevuahs are meant to be shared. Because some of the Kodesh Baruch Hu give a Navi Nevuah just for his own growth, for his own spiritual elevation, or practically a message for him. It wasn't the message meant to be shared with any other audience. What's an example of Nevuah that was given to a Navi that he wasn't really instructed to share with anyone else? That we just mentioned. Huh? Yonah was supposed to share. Yonah in the fourth parable. Yonah in the fourth parable with the Kikayon, at that point it's just for him. Yeah, give me another example that we mentioned there. Yeah. Oh, very good, very good. The Malbim and others suggest that Rivka's Nevuah, the Nevuah to Rivka was not meant to be shared with other people. That's why perhaps she couldn't tell Yitzchak what she knew of the Nevuah about the babies in her belly. And now tell me something about one of the babies that was in her belly. Rabbeisai, let's come back to the opening kasha. Give me an example of Nevuah and Chumash Breishas that was not really intended for sharing with others. Yaakov. To whom was he meant to deliver that Nevuah? No. Nobody. There was no audience. Exactly. Oh, the Rambam says, Gevaldik. The only time a Nevuah Latova is Eino Chazeres is a Nevuah Latova which is meant for sharing with others. Because a Nevuah which is meant for sharing with others is the sort of Nevuah that could potentially be used for Navi certification. But a Nevuah that's only meant personally works by the usual rules. And that's why Yaakov Avinu was understandably, correctly worried. Shema Yigra Machet. This is not a Nevuah meant for sharing with anyone else. This works by the normal default. When Latova or Lara, it depends on how I behave. If it's Latova and meant for sharing with others, then there's a special exception that Nevuah is absolute. Even if I do Chataim, the Nevuah Latova will not be Chazeres if it's Latova and meant for sharing. But if it's a personal Nevuah, even if it's a Tova, the Rambam suggests, once you understand why, once you understand that fundamentally Nevuahs, according to Rambam, should always be contingent. Then we have to explain why is Nevuah Tova an exception? Oh, because that allows for checking and certification. So then stands to reason only if it's a Nevuah Tova which is meant for sharing. But Yaakov Avinu, that was a personal Nevuah, personal Nevuah could be Chazeres whether Tova or Ra, and that's why Yaakov was worried, Shema Yigra Machet. Of course, the happy ending to all of this is that Baruch Hashem, Chet was not Gorim, and Yaakov Avinu was a big tzaddik, in love and garti v'sarik mitzvah shamarti, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Yaakov Avinu in absolutely stunning ways when he once again rendezvous with his brother Esav. It does also get us thinking about the richness of studying Nevuah and the interplay of many different Ikari Emunah, and it begins to get us thinking also about the roles and goals of Nevuah. The preliminary is certifying that he is a Navi. But then the Navi has jobs to do. The Rambam is making us think about the fact that sometimes Nevuah is for oneself, which itself is interesting. Nevuah can be a tool in one's growth. Nevuah can also, as you guys have pointed out, be a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending messages to Klal Yisrael, the power of Klal Yisrael. Not always, but often messages of tshuva. Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with some more in terms of the goals of Nevuah and in terms of the role of Nevuah within the halachic system.